Hey guys. Actually, today I don't even really know why I'm here right now, but I kept getting messages from Jesse telling me to come and talk to you guys. So I was supposed to come last year. So I'm actually in New York right now doing a music performance tonight. So I decided to take some time and speak with you guys. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation. I think a few things I wanted to speak to you guys about is the importance of, you know, the experience of what I've had in working in the Chinese market. I can see that most of us here are Asian. Hopefully most of us are Chinese, I think. That's what Jesse told me. So, you know, I think one common mistake that a lot of people do is saying, it's good for China. It's good for China. So people watch a movie that's Chinese and they say, oh, that was a good movie for a Chinese movie. And for me, that doesn't cut it. That doesn't make sense to me. Do you understand? A movie is a movie. It shouldn't be, oh, because it's a Chinese movie, there's lower standards. So what I think is most important, especially for all of us, you know, we're lucky enough to have a, you know, a Western education or a Western upbringing, is to understand that the level of quality of work does not differ in different countries. Whenever I do something, I don't think about, oh, I'm doing this for China, so what is good for China? I believe everything that I do, even if it's a Chinese song, I try to think of it as, if my friends in America or a person that worked at a radio station, they listened to my song, what would they think of this song? Now, I'm not saying that the Chinese market is unimportant. It's just that we cannot say to ourselves that, okay, so I want to work in China and these are the guidelines or the status of what is good. Because the problem is with that is that a lot of us maybe already thinking, everyone's like, China's the next market. China's the next superpower. China's this and China's that. Okay, there's a lot of money to be made there. Okay, sure. But you cannot lose the integrity of what you do and what you represent for money. And at the same time, if China is going to become the next superpower or the next place to make business happen, then we cannot be working at a barometer of saying, this is good for China. This, everything has to be good on an international level. And only then will we be able to be standing proud and say, this is Chinese made. The reason why I'm saying this is because when I started Clot in, I don't even remember, man, 15 years ago, I remember something very, 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 very alarming to me is, I said, we're made in China. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's horrible. I said, what do you mean? Why is made in China bad? They're like, oh, all these products are getting recalled in America and there's baby products have lead in them or blah, 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 blah. So everything that I've been doing, I've been trying to be made in China, creatively designed in China. Everything is from a Chinese perspective. People ask me, hey, what are you? I'm actually born in Canada, but I tell people I'm Chinese because you can't deny the fact that I'm Chinese. Look at me. I mean, so I say I'm born in Canada, but I'm Chinese. So when people think I say made in China or this, we're based in China, and it gives them a bad stigmatism, I have to be very aware of everything that I do and everything that I say so that if someone from an international level is looking at the product that we're making or looking at the creative designs or the ideas that we're coming out of, we can be proud to say that, yeah, this is made in China. The first time I ever went to Nike, I told them, hey, we need a shoe. We need to make a shoe. And they're like, oh, well, you're a Hong Kong-based company. We've never done products from Hong Kong. And I said, half your shoes are made in China. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how can you not give us a voice in the international market when you rely on our people to make half of your product? It took me 3 years to keep showing them what we do, showing them that we're not, you know, we're not at a lower level than other creatives. So now, 10 years later, we're still making Nike shoes. We've made 6 pairs of Nike shoes, and you know, our company is now signed to a Nike deal. And that took perseverance, and that took really, 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 really hard work. And quite honestly, every time we make something, although 70% of the people that buy it are Chinese, we don't think of it that way. We think of making a good product. Now, good product, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if you're in Brazil. It doesn't matter if you're in Russia. It doesn't matter if you're in Ethiopia. A good product will sell itself. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to say made where, made where, made where. So I think the importance of all of you guys is to understand that everything that we do, we should be doing it for an international level. I know that a lot of you might return back to China and work, and you might start falling under that same stigmatism, but that is wrong. I'm telling you right now, it's wrong, because, you know, I hate it when people say, oh, yo, look, these rappers are, the hip-hop is really big in China right now. And they're like, oh, this Chinese rap album is good for China. And it's like, what do you actually mean by that? You know, like, oh, well, the beat sounds like it's 6 years old, but, you know, if you actually listen to hip-hop, and I go, then that's wrong, and that's not good. And I'm not trying to disrespect these people, but I'm trying to say that we live in a very small world now, you know? Like, we can take a plane. I'm taking a plane tonight. I'm going to Shanghai, and I'll be there in 10 hours, and I'm doing another job, but it doesn't make my sense of quality level change at all. We have to keep knowing what's good and keep bringing what's good so that in China, in 10, 15, 20, 50 years, whenever it really is our time to step up to the plate, we already are trained in offering quality level products or quality level thinking, not judged on the level of what's good in China. Now, I totally understand that, you know, doing business in China is a total different monster than doing different business in, say, America. But I think one of the most important things is, in China, it's very hard to speak your mind. It's very hard to truly and essentially be yourself. But us being exposed to the internet, exposed to the world, when we go back, we have to really, 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 really stay true to your real roots and stay true to whatever your real inspiration and idea is, because we are all global and we're all the same people, even though our skin may be a different color. It doesn't make any difference. So doing something for China should be doing something for the world, and you should not lower your standards for that. So I feel like that's, you know, one of the most important things that I wanted to tell you guys today. Now, you know, they wanted me to talk to you about some design elements and stuff, and, you know, I think you can read about all that on the internet, but I think the most important thing is how to mesh what you know and try to kind of bring it into a larger conversation so that everyone does not have to change what they want to do. I've never changed what I wanted to do. It's been hard, really hard, but now people are finally telling me that they think that I'm talented and they think that I'm, you know, a hard worker. I mean, I haven't changed my work ethic in 10, 15 years. And I think that that's something that we all should take back is, you know, people might not understand what you're talking about or what you're thinking, but if you have a good idea, sooner or later, they're going to jump on and they're going to start giving you praise. And I feel like us as the next voice and generation for China, you know, you guys are being educated in New York, one of the greatest cities in the world. When you go back, you should not forget what you've seen here and not be like, oh, I'm back in China and this is how I should act. No, you're a part of this world and you should act the way that you want to act and represent the things that you want to represent. And, you know, I think that, you know, like another good example of that is hip hop music. I've been doing hip hop music for 10, 15 years, and now all of a sudden it's super popular in China. So that's an example of my perseverance and my belief in my work. And, you know, I think one of the most important things I've ever learned is if you find a job that you love, you really don't have to work anymore, because, you know, every day I wake up and I'm doing work. Yeah, I'm doing work. I'm consulting for this brand, I'm recording this song, I'm designing this shoe, but it's not really work to me. It's just because it's something that I love, it's something that I'm passionate for, it's something that I want to tell the world. So I think what's most important also that I wanted to tell you is, you know, it might be that tech is really in right now, or I don't know, basketball or something, right? And you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to that market and try to make some money. 9 out of 10 times you will lose because you're only trying to do it for finance. Finance is secondary. Passion is first. Because like I said, if you have passion for something, no matter how hard it is, it's all worth it. But if you're just trying to look for a dollar bill, there's a lot of places you can find easy money. But if you're trying to do something for 10 to 15 years or for your lifetime, if you go into an industry that is only because there's money or my mother told me to go do it, I feel sorry for you because you're going to have a horrible life. And every day you wake up, you're going to have to be look at yourself in the mirror and you're going to be sad. So I think another thing that I wanted to tell you guys is to believe in yourself and to believe in your dreams and really, you know, find your own groove and stick to it, believe in it. And no matter if you're doing it in America, if you're doing it in China, if you're doing it in Japan, just do it at the same quality level. Do not, because other people are working at a lower standard or a lower level thinking, go down to that level so that you can, I don't know, I don't really know how to explain it. It's something that I've never done. I've never bent over for anybody. And I think, you know, the willpower of yourself will be the testament of Chinese people for the next 50 to 100 years. And I think that we are the most important people right now in the world because we have a great chance and we have one of the largest nations. We're becoming more and more important on the international level. And what is most important is the next generation, because right now I can pinpoint so many things that when I go to China, what I think are wrong. A lot of people say, hey, Edison, you can't change this. And I said, yeah, but I'm gonna try. And even if I don't succeed, if I've, like, say, I've inspired this guy right there, you know, and he's the next guy, then I've done my job. Because it doesn't have to happen in my lifetime, and it doesn't have to happen on myself. As long as I really believe in something, I hope that in the future it will change. So I believe that us as a people, we have a very, very large responsibility to pinpoint what we think is wrong and to pinpoint exactly how we're going to make those changes. Now, like I said, it might not happen in your lifetime, but we are the force to make that wave start going, you know? So I believe one day we really will be maybe the most influential, most powerful country in the world. But it's up to you guys, really. I mean, I'm 37. I'm old. So you guys are the young ones. So hopefully you guys can really follow your dreams, understand what the level of quality is, and keep at it, you know, because no one else will have the opportunity like us, because when we finish school, we go back and it's a whole different playing level. And we need to influence the people over there to start understanding the values, the rights that we believe in. And I think that, you know, that's the most important thing that I can tell you, you know, like I can tell you about a story I had filming a movie or recording a song, but I don't really think that matters, you know? I think what matters is to be able to inspire the next generation to do better, to make a difference. And that's why today I decided to come here and speak to you guys, because it's, you guys are way too important and you guys might not understand that, you know? Especially if you guys are planning to go back into China and work. You guys are the voice of reason. People don't understand what we're talking about a lot of the time there. And it'll take patience, and it'll take kind of, you know, due diligence for you to really make them understand, but it's worth it, number one. And over time, I really believe that they will change and they will listen. So, you know, there's good things and bad things everywhere. There's good things and bad things in America. There's good things and bad things in China. Take the good and try to make it better and try to make people better. And I think that's the most important thing. So, I also think that, you know, another thing I wanted to talk about is a lot of people always, you know, an example I wanted to show you is, I don't have a PowerPoint, I'm sorry, but there's a thing happening in Los Angeles called ComplexCon. And ComplexCon is supposedly a street, convention. They say all the best brands and all the best musicians and all the best people are gathering in Los Angeles in November. I'm not doing promotion, I promise you I'm not. But next week, in Shanghai, I'm doing something called Intersect. Now, everything that I do it like I'm doing it for IMAX. I know that sounds funny, because when I was a kid, everyone says, we got to do something, you got to do it like you're doing it for TV. But I guarantee you that if you look at the lineup and you look at what we do in Shanghai, we are beating Los Angeles, and we're beating everyone else in the world that's trying to do it. And that's because of the perseverance of what I believe in and not bending over for the dollar bill and actually trying to present something that's really great and true and inspiring. So I believe that we are already on that page and we're already making it there. But like I said, in a few years, I'm already going to be retired and hopefully living on an island, suntanning. And hopefully you guys can be the next ones to really push the envelope, you know? And I think we cannot be like, oh, it's fine. It's, you know, I went to this place in China and it tastes just as good, almost as good, or this is just as good. It's not okay. It really isn't okay, because we need to represent ourselves better, and we need to make our people better, and we need to let people look at us better. Because like I said, when I first started Clot, everyone said, oh, you're a Chinese company. That must mean cheap and low-level quality. So we've been spending 15 years trying to up the bar on how people think, and now people are all of a sudden saying, oh, Chinese rappers, Chinese brands, Chinese this, Chinese that, Chinese tech companies, you know, all over. And it's really our moment to either lose it or take it. And I hope we can take it, because like I said, I'm Chinese. I'm born in Canada, but I fully believe I'm Chinese. I might not speak the best Mandarin, but I definitely know my culture and my roots, and I hopefully you guys remember where you came from and what you represent and what you can do to make our nation or our people better. So that's really all I have to say today, you know. I'm just trying to be inspiring for you. So I actually like to speak to you guys more, so that's why I would prefer if we can have questions and if anyone wants to ask me anything.
Thank
I would
you,
like
Mr.
to speak.
Chen.
Yeah.
We're going to enter the Q&A session if
sure.
you don't mind.
Okay. Good.
Thank you for an amazing speech. So just to start this, I want to throw the first question out there. Yeah. Something you just mentioned over and over again really caught my attention. You said, we as Chinese people and entrepreneurs should always have integrity and also fight the stigmatism, the negative ones about made in China. So I'm wondering, what is the standard for your brand, Clot, and what do you represent as a hip-hop artist as well as an entrepreneur or a designer?
Well, I mean, if we're passionate about something, you already have something that you enjoy from that. It can be music, it can be clothing, it can be a car, it can be a tech company, like I said. And I'm not saying that you should copy and emulate that, because that's also a stigmatism of what Chinese is to copy and reproduce at a cheaper level. So what I do is I try to set the bar at something that I personally like. So there's, a brand from Japan. Yeah. So I study and I look at their clothing and I try to see, okay, what is the difference between what I've made and what they've made? Mm-hmm. How do I elevate my game and how do I find the best way to make this happen? You know, so I just think that having a good understanding of what you're really trying to do and really kind of researching the market to see where you can do better and where you can fit in is really the key. Yeah.
Thank you. Now the floor is open. Are there any more questions from the audience? Do you want to pick one?
You pick it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go again. This one, please. She's so enthusiastic.
Hello. I just, because I study jewelry design, which is like my passion since I was a kindergarten kid. And then so, and there's many things to keep me really passionate, and one is being like original. I always want to like bring something new to the world. It might sound naive, but that's really what makes me passionate about being a designer. But like right now, it's really weird. Like there are a lot of professors that keep telling me nothing is original. They say like everything you have been done, like others have done it before. So like, I saw like, being creative, like copyright, everything is really important here. But right now, like those things are like start to make me wonder. So, what do you believe that, or like what do you think?
Well, I mean, being original doesn't mean that you have to make something fully new. I think your professors are almost right that, you know, the everything has been reiterated 5,000 times. You know, to make the best version of it is, I think, what the goal is here, you know? It's really hard to really innovate and create something new that's never been seen in this world unless I think it's on a technological level right now, you know? But number one is never copy. You can be inspired, and you can love an artist, but changing, just doing the exact same thing, but, like, there's a perfect example. I don't know, I see someone wearing some Supreme stuff here, right here. And he might understand me, is there's a company in Japan called Baby Milo, and they use an ape to be their logo. I've seen numerous Chinese companies use a cat or use a dog, and it's the exact same design. And they're like, this is new, this is amazing. No, it's not. You have to get inspired from someone to create something new. Now, if it has elements of something that's already been happening before or something that's already made, that's not a copy. You have to reinvent the whole wheel. Do you understand? So, obviously, you know, I draw inspiration from so many people. And being honest with you, like, everything that I've created has come from someone else's thoughts or a conversation I've had or an art piece I've seen or a T-shirt that I like. And I'm not copying them. I'm just letting them give me the inspirational vibes to start my own journey of creation. So I can't say your professor's wrong, but I do believe that, you know, finding originality right now isn't about making something that no one's ever seen. It's actually bettering products or bettering thoughts and having your own identity behind it. And I think that that's the most important part of it.
I saw a kid who was raising his hand since the beginning of last question, so I have to choose him.
Sure.
That one. The volunteer is giving you the mic right now.
Hey, man. Part of me grew up with your song, so I find it funny if anyone ever doubted your work. So it's a little here, like, personally, and I'm probably older than you, so I don't know why you call me a kid. Anyway,
age is nothing but a number, man.
Yeah, no, like it's not a matter. But anyway, Claude has inspired us to start our own clothing brand back a year ago. So I brought something here that I want to give you and see what you think about us. But back to the question is, if we talk about platform here, East Meet West, something like that. Both Hypebeast and 88 Rising, they started, originated from the East, but they don't limit themselves geographically through their origins. What similarities do you see between the two platforms? Obviously, are different. And how does Clot fit in all these? Thank you.
So Hypebeast and 88 Rising are two good examples of you know, an Asian background kind of going into the international platform. I have to give it up for 88 Rising because I feel like they're really staying true to their identity and really, 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 like, pushing their message. Now, for Hypebeast, I feel like they've lost their identity and they're more of a... It's like a feed. It's almost like a feed now. And that's the thing that I was talking about, and I'm glad that you brought this up, is... When you succeed, you still have to have the same passion as the first day that you started. Because if you don't, then you're not successful. Because a successful person will admit to their assistant, I can learn new things. Mm-hmm. every day I can learn new things. Every day I'm trying to learn new things. And I think some people that taste success early, they start forgetting that. And I think that, you know, being humble, number one, is very important. And number two is not thinking that you're the best or you're the shit, because there's no such thing as that. There's always someone that could be better than you, even if they're younger than you and they haven't come out yet. They might best you in 2 years. And in 2 years, if that happens, your company is number two. And then someone bests him and you're number three, and then soon you become obsolete. So I think that, you know, being humble and really telling yourself that I can learn more every day, even if I have a great degree from NYU, yeah. When I come back to China, I can still learn. From my friend, I can learn. From everywhere, any corner of the world, you can learn something new, and I think that that's the most important thing. But back to your question is, yeah, you know, I think that, like I just said, 88 Rising, they're still young and they're still new, but I really respect what they're doing for our people in general. And, you know, like Hypebeast, I mean, if you're trying to find out what day the sneaker is dropping, maybe you can go and check it out. But if you're really trying to find like a real substantial story, you should probably go elsewhere and look, you know. Thank you.
We still have time for more questions.
Hello, Addison. I was a big fan of the documentary you did with Vice. And I was very surprised to see that in one of the episodes, there's a close-up view on the master, Sun Zibing Fa. There was a close-up view on that. And I was wondering, like, do you really read this classic, the Chinese classic literature? And I know that in this recent collection you did with Converse, and you have these really cool Confucius design on that. I'm wondering, like, usually how did you draw this inspiration from the Chinese classic like literatures? And also, you said you won't ban $4 for your business. And this year, you actually have Claude actually have like a new run of finance fund, Hupu. And I'm wondering, like, what's your expansion plan in mainland China? And if you got a chance to pick one of the celebrities in China to work with to do a collaboration product, who would you pick?
Yeah. That's okay. Three questions.
Yeah. So to answer your first question, that's funny that you say that, because I actually, you know, I remember 10 years ago, I'd tell people, hey, I just read a book. And they're like, you read books?
Oh my, you do?
I'm like, yeah, I actually do read books. But yeah, there's been a period of time when I was a kid and I used to read, like, you know, stories like, you know, Catcher in the Rye, etc. I used to enjoy how stories would bring me on a emotional journey and show me a side of life that I wouldn't know. Then I went through a period where I read a lot of self-help books, just trying to improve myself. You know, like I said, I try to learn something new every day. And recently, I've been delving back into more Asian culture, especially ancient Asian culture, to try to see and better understand where my roots are from. So yes, I was reading those books, for real. For Converse and stuff, one thing that I think is truly important to me is to not forget my roots and culture. So every once in a while, say when we're doing a Nike shoe, the first Nike shoe I did was very heavily Chinese inspired. So why I do that is to bring our culture and bring our people to an international platform and to try to bring the best of what I believe is part of us and really showcase it to the whole world. So not every t-shirt you're going to see is going to have like a Tai Chi guy on it or some Chinese characters, but we try to sprinkle it in and out of our design just to stay real to exactly who we are. And we chose Hupu as an investor because, you know, like I was telling you guys, the Chinese market is a very different place than what I'm used to in Western culture. So when we were trying to expand at a certain speed, we understood that we needed someone that kind of could assist us in the local market. Now, we could have chose a lot of different companies, but we chose Hupu because of the same level of interest in sports, and we kind of studied how they were taking sports and trying to blend in their own kind of identity alongside the international reporting of these sports stories. So that's why me and Kevin decided to work with Hupu. Our expansion plans in China are, we're just going to be opening more and more and more and more and more in stores. So, and at the same time, we're opening Los Angeles in February, and we're planning to open New York at the end of next year. And we're just trying to keep our stamp on international culture and keep trying to represent the Chinese youth at a high level.
Thank you so much. That's all the time we have today for Edison Chen. I know you guys have more questions.
That's all the time you have for me?
I guess so.
No, well, last thing I want to say is this, okay. Is it might sound crazy. You guys might think, oh, Edison Chen, millions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of these. I own 8 brands right now. A lot of these brands I started with $5,000 to $20,000, and they've become multi-million dollar businesses. Now, you know, I think there's a myth of, oh, I need a huge amount of money to start this business or to do this and do that. That's a lie. It takes a lot of creativity and innovation and good ideas to make something that can start from nothing, literally nothing. I had a company named V-Loan. We started with $125,000 in the bank, and we're at millions and millions and millions of dollars now. And my partners even said, you need to put in more money. You need to put in more money. And I told them, if I put it in more money, our company's going to be evaluated much less later. Let's start with very little, and let's dream big and shoot big. And I think that that's something that can be said of on almost all different business platforms, especially you back there. Really, like, just make good products, believe in yourself, and hopefully the rest will follow. So thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate your amazing speech today. Thank you.